Welcome back to it. It's Sports Call, Tiger 95.9 FM and on the Tiger Communications app. JJ Jackson inside the studio with Brant Daughtry, Brooks Childress, and our buddy Eric McDade. It's time to cover the bases with Eric McDade, State Farm. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I almost wanted to call you E-Money.
That's cool, man.
Would that be okay?
Give me a nickname.
All right. Cool. I got to know this, though. From your perspective, third time we're about to cover the bases.
All right.
Have the first two been okay?
No, it's been great, man.
Like, is this the thing? Is this the talk of the town? Like, are you telling folks about, hey, I'm about to be on Sports Call. Yeah, you got to tune in.
Yeah, this is the thing, man. I got a couple people that I hit them up, make sure they listen.
I love that.
After the last one, I had somebody hit me up, and they was like, man, you went on the radio and told everybody LeBron James was the GOAT. I was like, look, I had to tell you. I've been waiting to get that off somewhere.
Exactly. We need that to be heard. I'm with you. I am in that boat. Straight he up. Is the GOAT. LeBron, man.
Best to ever do it.
19 years. Like, next season's going to be year 20.
Hey.
I can't get over that. Are you serious?
Crazy, man.
Woo!
It's getting close to the end, man. It's
I know.
Sad.
I know. That makes me happy, though, that to know that this is a thing, that this is like you're letting everybody know, like, look,
oh yeah,
we're about to be covering the bases, and you need to tune in.
Yeah, for sure. We here, man.
All right, we had a busy weekend in the sports world, and that's why I like kind of having you in on Monday, Tuesday, because we've got a lot to kind of recap and talk about. I want to start here, okay? Mm-hmm. The Kentucky Derby. Did you tune in for a second? I know we had high school soccer going on.
I missed the whole thing. I was just running around, running errands and stuff. And sometimes I watch it, but...
Okay, well, here's the thing. This is our discussion. It's the fastest 2 minutes in sports.
I know.
So either you see it or you don't.
Yeah,
it's very easy to miss.
I missed it. And then it's like, I saw that it was coming on. You know, it came on at like... They start covering it at like 12.
Right. It takes 6 hours to get to the thing. And then it's a two-minute race and it's over.
So, yeah, I was running around, man, doing some yard work. And I came back inside and it was like, it's over. I missed this whole thing. But I think it's a really cool story, man. I just, you know, I rewatched it and people were sharing, like, the highlights to show how far behind the horse was and was able to come back.
And wasn't even in the field until Saturday because a horse scratched and had to be removed the day prior.
I mean,
80-1,
how crazy
the odds.
Is that?
The greatest upset in Kentucky Derby history.
Yeah. I saw that they paid $30,000 for this horse. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, Nissan Pathfinder.
See, I know.
They won $1 million. That's awesome, man.
That's the thing. It's like, you didn't see it, but you clearly have... I mean, when the Kentucky Derby happens, you don't have to see it to know that it happened because everybody's going to talk about it. And then when you got an event like this, again, a horse not in the field until the day of, pretty much, finds a way to win the thing. Did you see the clip afterwards of the horses fighting?
I did. Yeah, that was... What was happening? I have no idea. I thought one of the jockeys was like he was going to punch the horse.
I kept watching the video like, Brant, at some point these horses are going to separate. At some point they're going to be able to break free.
You would like to think that the jockey riding the winning horse would say, hey, let's go over here now.
Yeah.
Away from these other horses that you're trying to bite the head off of. But no, man. I think he was trying, just the horse didn't want to let go.
That was crazy.
It's so funny, man.
I saw a picture of the horse, like, taking a selfie with the trophy. That was
I saw that, too, yeah. That was pretty funny. Lucky Strike has some personality to him.
Rich
I like that horse. Rich Strike, excuse me.
Lucky Strike would be a cool name, though,
too. It would.
Yeah. All
he
the names are awesome.
He was pretty lucky this weekend.
What'd you say?
I said he was pretty lucky this weekend.
He was lucky, so maybe it would have worked. Maybe Lucky Strike would have worked. No, that was a big event that happened over the weekend. Everybody had their eyes on the Kentucky Derby to see what would take place. I want to get to the NBA playoffs in just a little bit because that's obviously going really well for us to be watching. Also, you're the sponsor of our Player of the Week. The Sports Call Player of the Week this week is our good buddy Ronald Acuña Jr., who's back in the lineup for the Braves. 2 home runs already in his first week after missing nearly a full season with a torn ACL. He was unfortunately not a part of the Braves winning the World Series. He hit a home run where he fell down entirely and still hit the ball over the fence. And then he hit a home run and hit the LeBron silencer.
That's right.
You saw that?
He's a bad dude, man.
Yeah. So this is a good choice for us to have him as the player of the week.
Yeah, man. He looks like he's back.
That's what we like to see.
He's back.
Hopefully the Braves can turn it around, Brooks, now that they've got Acuña going and it can turn into something here.
Yeah, like we said at the end of last week, this is about when you want to see the Braves start to turn a little bit of a corner here. And you saw it last week. You saw them take two out of four against the Mets. And so you felt really good about that. And you needed them to come in and have a good weekend against the Brewers this weekend. And they did. They took two out of three. And now you've got a kind of a struggling Red Sox team coming in to start the week, starting tomorrow for two quick games. And you've got a really good Padres team coming into town next this coming weekend. And so you keep turning that corner there. You got two out of three from the Brewers. You took two from the Mets last week. If you can go in and you can sweep the Red Sox here in the midweek and then go into that Padres series with a lot of momentum, I think you start to see this Braves team turn a little bit of a corner here a little bit earlier than last year.
Eric McDade, State Farm, the proud presenting sponsor of our Sports Call Player of the Week. And this week, it goes to the one and only Ronald Acuna Jr. Excited to see what he can do for the Braves as they try to win the division for the fifth straight year. And they're trying to defend their World Series title. All right, let's talk about one of the biggest stories in sports right now. And obviously, we know that ESPN is the worldwide leader. So you go there, and if it's a big story being talked about there, it's kind of a big deal. Let's talk about this for a second, because we've got a couple of series that after last night, they're now tied two games apiece in those series. But the big story for the Mavericks and Suns in a lot of ways was not even what happened on the floor, but Chris Paul and the fans. Did you guys see this?
I have not seen this. Yeah, so educate me.
I heard about it. I didn't see what it was.
So several members of Chris Paul's family in attendance for Game 4 were harassed and physically contacted by a fan in the crowd. Chris Paul, very upset after the fact. He tweeted, "You want to find players for saying stuff to the fans, but the fans can put their hands on our families. F that." His mother, Robin, as well as his wife, Jada, and their two children watched the games in seats close to behind the Suns bench. His mother had hands put on her, and his wife was pushed. A source familiar with the situation told ESPN his kids were there to witness it as well. His wife was also followed up the aisle when she left her seat. So, pretty wild that the family felt unsafe. And Chris Paul, of course, in the game, fouled out with 8 minutes to go in that one. Only played 23 minutes, and the Mavericks were able to win to tie the series back up. But that was crazy. That was crazy to watch in a timeout how upset Chris Paul was getting. And I think he's got a point, because sometimes I think too many people don't think these people are, like, real.
Yeah. Right. Fans get away with way too much. I mean, we've heard, I think it's been talked about since Malice at the Palace, but like the fact that fans can get away with certain things is ridiculous, and it's up to the organizations to kind of traffic that. And I don't know what the answer is, but you got to do something. You got to do something about this, because you can't have one. You shouldn't be able to throw things at players or whatever. Mm-hmm. Two, the family of those players should not feel unsafe sitting in the stands. That's a lot worse, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of, you know, the words are one thing. You know, I mean, we've all gone to these games and you hear people just say the craziest things to some of these players. But, you know, putting your hands on somebody's crossing the line, you never want to get in that situation where, you know, especially Chris Paul's mom on Mother's Day, you know,
right,
being harassed and pushed by fans. That's just insane, man. Yeah, they got to do something other than, you know, just banning people from the arena. I don't even know if that's the solution. I like Charles Barkley's solution.
What did he say? I saw that he kind of went. What did Barkley say?
Barkley said we ought to just take one fan out to half court and make an example out of. He said, give him 5 minutes. You say what you said to that guy in the stands. Say it to his face at half court.
Yeah.
And give him 5 minutes and just
let's
beat him
in.
Up. Yeah. Nobody steps in. Nobody presses charges. We just beat him up and.
You get a one-on-one with a professional athlete for 5 minutes.
Right.
Hold on tight.
That's funny.
That might make everybody think twice. I don't know.
It definitely would. I mean,
practical solution.
Right.
I mean,
but I like it.
There's the proposed every NBA player gets one fight a year. You get to pick one. You get to go into the stands and fight one guy every season, and that's your one. When you have it, you're done. You don't get to go after anybody else. But as long as you have that one, that guy, you know.
because I'm sure that there would be a lot of players that would probably be tempted to do it more than just once.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Draymond would be one of them for sure. Draymond? That would be
I feel like Draymond is more interested in fighting on the court than in the stands.
True. So, I mean, yeah, no, that's been
I love Draymond Green. I'm not a Warriors fan, but I love Draymond Green. Just because I'm just like, I feel like he's the type of guy that if he's on your team, you love him. If he's on any other team, you hate him.
No
and,
kidding.
And in a way that doesn't annoy me, because I feel like Patrick Beverley is the same way, but Patrick Beverley just ticks me off.
Are you annoyed by Beverley?
Yeah, he's a piss. But yeah. He's the same type of guy, man. You want him on your team.
Yeah.
That's the guy you want to go to war with. But if he's on the other team, he's just annoying.
Yeah.
So.
You can't stand on the scorer's table for winning the playing game.
Oh, that was bad.
You're doing too much at that point, man.
Celebrating like you won the championship. That was hilarious.
That was funny. All right, so the Warriors and Grizzlies series has been unbelievable. Back and forth. It's been the Grizzlies able to tie it up with a wonderful performance from Ja Morant, who scored 47, a game in which Dylan Brooks was ejected and then suspended for Game 3, and then it goes back to the West Coast, back to California, and the Warriors piped the Memphis Grizzlies. It just wasn't close at all. But now there's been so much conversation, it feels like, about the antics on the court. And every player on both teams want to accuse the other teams of just being a bunch of dirty players.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few incidents, a lot of back and forth after the games on Twitter and in press conferences. Just looking forward to them playing basketball, man. I mean, the Draymond thing was, I mean, let's be honest, that was Draymond being Draymond. You know, he deserved to get kicked out of the game.
About Game 1.
Game 1.
Yeah.
The Dylan Brooks thing in Game 2, that was dirty.
Right.
I mean, there's no getting around that. I didn't really think what Jordan Poole did was dirty in Game 3. You know, stuff happens. I mean,
right.
I didn't think it was dirty. But, you know, it's one of those things, man. It's a highly contested series. You got a young team that's, you know, feeling like it's their
time.
Those
are the champs. Like, they haven't won it in a couple of years. But yeah, you know Warriors that roster is made of champs.
That's right. They want to get back to winning. And, the Grizzlies, they're coming. They're, you know, up-and-coming team. So they want what the Warriors have. So you kind of expected that. But we're going to see tonight. I don't think Ja's playing. So it's going to be interesting. If Ja doesn't play.
There's no chance. I mean,
Well, they're really good without him, though. That was a lot of the talk in the regular season, you know.
It was crazy. They were 21-3 or something without him in the lineup, which is insane.
So we'll see. We'll see if that translates to the playoffs.
And going to the game that they won where Ja scores 47 points.
Right.
You have to win that game because Golden State shot 7 of 38 from three-point range. They could not make a shot in Game 2. If the Grizzlies lost that game, you would have been like, all right, how can we win any of these?
Sweet, yeah. Yeah. So.
And what, 142-117 was the score of this most recent game?
Yeah,
like, that's not close.
Up. Yeah, they shot the lights
off. They made up for it. Averages played out. I don't see it. I know the Grizzlies were great in the regular season. They are a really good team. They're second in the Western Conference. The Warriors were third, just talent-wise. I don't know. I just don't see how the Grizzlies can make this series back competitive.
Yeah.
And playing on the road tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Warriors, they're champions, man. They don't smell blood tonight. They can go up 3-1. I mean, not that they can't blow a 3-1 lead, but done it before.
LeBron knows. Yeah. The GOAT knows.
But LeBron ain't on the other side.
That's
true. So
that's
true. If they can go up 3-1, I think they'll be all right this time.
Well, you see the thing about even if Ja doesn't play tonight, I don't know. It may be a trend. It may not be a trend. I may be reading. You had the incident with Game 1, right? Memphis took that really personally, came back one Game 2. There was an incident during Game 2. Warriors took that very personally, came back one Game 3. Now there's been another incident, Game 3. Do the Memphis Grizzlies take that very personally, come back and win Game 4?
All I can see every time you say take it personally is just the Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last Dance meme of I took that personally. When the dude
That's what
came
the series
out and said,
is.
I didn't say anything to him.
That's what the series seems like it is.
Yeah.
There's an incident in the first three games, and the other team has taken it, quote, taken it personally and gone out and won that next game.
I took that personally.
Yeah.
Who do you think wins, Brant?
I feel like when they're on, there's nobody that can beat the Warriors. I mean, I've made it very clear I'm not the biggest NBA fan in the world. I don't watch the NBA nearly as much as everybody else in this studio does, but I feel like when Steph Curry is on, there is not a better offensive player in the game. I don't think anybody can slow them down when they are at their best. And I feel like if they can channel like what they had during that, I guess it was the 15 and 16 years, I don't think that there's anybody that can hold up to them.
Brooks?
I don't know. Probably. If you told me to make a pick, which I guess you are, I would say the Warriors.
Right pick to make.
But I'm not going to be shocked if the Grizzlies come back and win this game. If the Grizzlies win the next game four, I'm not going to be shocked.
You're giving me all the numbers that okay, the Grizzlies can win with Ja Morant, but I don't think you really believe that, Eric. I think you know that the series is over and that the Warriors are going to win.
That's my guy, man, but. The Warriors will win this series. It's just not—it's not the Grizzlies' time yet, you know. It's a hierarchy in the NBA. That's how it works, you know. Grizzlies is one of those teams. They got to lose now to be better next year. They're really young. I mean, pretty much the whole starting lineup. All those guys are 21, 22, 23 years old. That's just how it goes. You know, Warriors will win.
They're going to try to make some moves this offseason to try and bolster their team. I'm curious what that could be. For Memphis. Ja is really fun to watch. I mean, that game that he was taking over game two, even with the Warriors not shooting the ball well and back and forth, the dude floats in the air.
Yeah, he's different.
Like, I've never seen, like, it feels like he is legit floating in the air when he's going to the rim. And then next thing you know, it's 2 points. It's either a dunk or he lays it right in. You can't stop. And then his three ball's improving. Mm-hmm. He can knock it down from out there. I mean, yeah, really fun team to watch. Other series going on, Dallas and Phoenix, outside of the fan incident. Again, I think the big story for Phoenix was that Chris Paul fouled out with 8 minutes left in the game, only had 5 points. Is Dallas going to try to win this series? I mean, I was kind of surprised by this.
Yeah, man.
Phoenix has been the best team all year.
Yeah. 2-2 right now.
Yep.
I mean,
is Devin Booker still out?
No, he's back.
Okay.
They just really shut down CP. And that's, I think to me, that's the key to beating the Suns. I mean, you let Booker get his and try to kind of hold CP down. And Luka Doncic is a problem, man. You know, he's that guy that can take off and win a series by himself, you know. So this next game is going to be insane because, you know, usually the winner of game five tied 2-2 series is going to win it. So I don't think they got a good game plan to guard Luka.
Luka had 30, or let's see, Luka last night, 26 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, only shot 1 of 10 from 3-point range, did Luka Doncic, and they still won by 10.
Yeah.
As Devin Booker had 35 to lead the way for the Phoenix Suns. But again, Chris Paul only played 23 minutes before fouling out with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Other series of note last night, the Philadelphia 76ers beat the Heat, and now that series tied 2 games apiece. This one's a little surprising because Miami looked so good in the first 2 games. They did not have Embiid, of course, did the Miami Heat, and now Embiid's back, and I don't know, are the Sixers figuring it out now?
I like the Sixers. I'm a real big Embiid fan. He's unguardable. I mean, he changes so much, especially in that matchup. I mean, you really gotta – he shoots the fadeaway like Jordan. He'll dunk on you like Shaq. I mean, he's just – and he, you know, he's a great defensive player. And the Heat don't scare me on offense.
Yeah.
You know, so Lowry's hurt. I kinda like the Sixers, especially if James Harden is somewhat James Harden.
No know. Kidding. Harden yesterday had 31, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Embiid had 24 to go along with 11 boards. Jimmy Butler, 40 points in a loss for Miami. Kyle Lowry missed the start of the series. He's back, but Lowry had just 6 points and was 0 of 6 from 3-point range. You got to have more from your best players if you're Miami. You were the best team in the East all season long. You just got to have your star players play a little bit better, Brooks.
Yeah, and especially when you come into the playoffs, that a lot of teams, you come into the playoffs and you look at them, you say, oh, they've got a lot of bench depth. Well, you don't really go to the bench that much in the playoffs. You want your starters to be out there, and you want your starters to be making plays. And if your stars are not making plays and they're not scoring the points, it gets harder and harder to win in the playoffs.
We will see how these series continue to unfold. Coming up a little bit later, again, we'll have Golden State Memphis Game 4. We're also going to have Milwaukee and Boston Game 4 in the NBA playoffs. Right now, we're covering the bases with Eric McDade, State Farm. We're going to continue that to open up hour number 3. So, still got a few more minutes left with Eric. We'll take one quick timeout, get you to the top of the hour, and then be back with a whole lot more fun. Alongside Brooks Childress and Brant Daughtry, I'm J.J. Jackson. 2 hours in the books, and we're rolling.
Two hours of sports call are finished. Don't touch that radio dial. We've got one more hour to go. Whether you're leaving work, cruising around town, or listening on demand, we've still got some fun left for you. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show has been on the air since 1995 and is ready for 60 more minutes of fun. Now, let's get this hour of Sports Call started.
Third and final hour of Sports Call getting started right now on Tiger 95.9 FM and on the Tiger Communications app. J.J. Jackson inside the studio with Brooks Childress and Brant Daughtry. We're taking your phone calls, 334-887-3401, and we're still continuing to cover the bases with our good buddy Eric McDade, State Farm. All right, tell me some good news going on in the State Farm world right now, Eric.
Well,
let the good people know what's happening.
Yeah, last week was National Small Business Week.
Uh-huh.
So, really had a campaign to talk to small business owners. Myself, people don't realize this, State Farm, we're all small business owners ourselves. So, really big week for us to talk to small business owners about their insurance policies. A lot of people don't even realize that State Farm does business insurance. So, we were able to reach out and link up with a few small businesses and talk to them about what they got going on, and looking forward to doing more of that. So, any of my small business owners out there listening, give me a call. We can sit down and talk about what we can do for you and just ways we can get together to do things, because I can help them, they can help me. So,
drivewitheric.com to see more information for Eric McDade, State Farm. Starting May off, are we pleased with the trajectory for your business this season?
Yeah,
we off to a good start? Pleased?
Yeah, for sure, man. We're really pleased. Summertime, summer months are always pretty good. People starting to kind of slow down a little bit with school winding down. People try to, getting the kids out of school is kind of a big deal. So, but once people can do that, they have opportunity to slow down and look at, their homeowners insurance, auto insurance, and those type of things. So it's been a good start to May, and we just want to keep it going.
I would like to think after 5-6 years of doing this show and being in this seat as a radio talk show host professionally now, I've gotten pretty damn good at this. So watch this transition that I'm going to have here, okay? We're talking about the summer slowing down. After the summer, what happens? The fall, college football. Let's talk a little college football right now here on the program. I want to take a look at some of the power rankings going into the 2022 season put out by Sports Illustrated. And let's talk about some of these teams going into this upcoming season. All right, Brant, you in for this?
I am always down to talk about college football.
We've got to cover the bases with Eric McDade. So, Brooks, are you ready for this?
Absolutely.
And Mr. McDade, E-Money, we ready to talk some college football?
Let's talk college football.
Okay. Sports Illustrated, number one team in the country with their power rankings. Who do you expect it to be up there at the top?
I say Bama.
Well, it is Bama.
All right.
Alabama Crimson Tide. You've got Bryce Young.
Heisman-winning quarterback coming back.
The Heisman-winning quarterback coming back, and that's probably all we need to say.
Yeah, and they've had multiple receivers just be incredible for the past couple of years. Their defense is always going to be nasty. Their offensive linemen are mountains. The running game, well, they're actually their running game wasn't that good that last year, but you know, there are very few holes, and there haven't been many holes in the last decade or so. So nothing shocking there.
I looked at it was draft night when I think it was the first round draft, and I looked at all the Alabama players that got selected. I guess it was a few days because I was looking at all the names, and I'm like, all right, that's a lot of guys that they lost. I then looked at a 2023 mock draft and looked at who was still there that could be drafted first round next year. I'm like, yeah, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, seven or eight guys.
Not going anywhere.
I think Bryce Young won the Heisman last year, but I think Will Anderson's the best player in college football.
Best player in college football.
Will Anderson's a freak, man. And it look, you could very well have Bryce Young.
He doesn't look that like physically imposing all the time, but he's so quick.
Yeah.
He's so quick.
Well, I mean, the thing about edge rushers,
I don't mean that as a slide at all, because I'm not going to sit here and say that guy's not in great shape. He's going to be one of the top players in college football. He's going to make a lot of money at the NFL. But sometimes you think of just freaks that have played
Miles
for
Garrett.
Alabama, and you're like, or anywhere in college football, and you're like, oh my gosh.
When I think
Jordan Davis this last year at Georgia, that guy doesn't look real. Will Anderson is just so damn quick, and he makes everything happen.
This, I mean, you have two guys at Alabama, and both of them could very well be the number one overall pick next year with Bryce Young and Will Anderson. I'm hoping C.J. Stroud balls out and takes that from them, but I don't know, man. It's Alabama's going to be really good, as we've gotten used to it at this point.
They're also adding Jermaine Burton from Georgia. They're adding Jahmyr Gibbs from Georgia Tech, who is college football's active leader in all-purpose yards, and Eli Ricks. He's transferring from LSU over to play for the Crimson Tide.
He got arrested, so we'll see how long that lasts.
Number two, Ohio State, the Sports Illustrated Power Rankings, C.J. Stroud.
He's
losing some receivers. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave going to the NFL draft.
You still got Davis Smith and Jabu over there.
Say,
so there's not going to be that much of a drop-off.
Ohio State's gotten to the point where they're like Alabama, where you say, oh, look at all these receivers they lost. Well, they've got three or four other five-stars sitting on the bench waiting. They're just going to ball out, too, and as long as you've got a good quarterback up there. And there's not really a second team that you can point your finger at every single year in the Big Ten that's going to challenge them. Michigan's good every so often. Are they going to be the same this year as they were last year? I don't know if I've got enough trust in Harbaugh to do that same thing in this year.
You mentioned Jackson and Jabu Smith.
Is it Smith and Jabu or Njabu Smith? I thought it was Smith and Jabu.
Smith and Jabu. Okay. I messed that up. Jackson,
not Davis.
His first name.
Yeah.
I forgot about this, but in the Rose Bowl, he had a college football record.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns, and the record was 347 receiving yards.
He exploded in that game. That was insane.
And he's coming 347 receiving yards in the Rose Bowl.
In a single game. A single game. Who did they play that against? Was that
Utah,
yeah.
And they got
Utah, famous for having a really, really good defense last year.
Yep. That was Ohio State's problem this past season, was their defense. In some of their games, they've got a new defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, coming in, set to get to work there with but the Buckeyes, number two going into the year. Okay with that?
Yeah, totally
makes sense.
Georgia, number three. They won their first national championship in 41 years.
Rest in peace.
And
1980.
Now they get back to work.
Yeah,
losing
Georgia,
a lot, man.
Yeah,
losing eight. Times.
You're losing so much. Nine players off that defense that were first rounders all gone. Or well, not nine all defensive players, but I think you're losing, you know, most of that defense and most of what made it really good. You're going to have to replace a lot. But I mean, hell, Georgia's getting to be a lot like Bama at this point, where they just reload. They're just reloading every single year. They're going to be good. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year, but they're going to be good.
Brooks, give me a word on Georgia.
I mean, if they figure out the quarterback situation because it feels like every year, even though Stetson Bennett is a fine quarterback for the system they're running, but it seems like every single year they're like, oh, it's going to be this guy, and then, no, we're going to go to this guy, we're going back to this guy.
Making excellent decisions.
If you can get stability there, I think that they could consistently be a team that you don't talk about, you know, retooling and everything, or everything. You can be put them on the same level as Alabama. I don't know if you could put them on the same level as Alabama every single year where they're a top two team every single year. I do agree. I think Georgia is a team that it's just next man up. They just they've gotten to that point. Kirby Smart's gotten to that point where it's you've got they've lost this guy on you know whatever position. You've got another guy waiting in the ring. I do think it has been a lot. I agree with you, Eric. I think it's been they lost a lot of talent, and it's going to be hard to replace some of that talent. But you look at the division they play in, and I just don't know if I think we still see them in Atlanta at the end of the year.
Yep.
This is the Sports Illustrated Power Rankings going into the 2022 football season. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, those making up the top three in order. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Georgia. Is there another team that you think should be worthy of top three consideration before we continue through the top ten?
You know, it's interesting. I think Clemson has a shot to be up there.
Okay.
If DJ Uiagalelei can figure it out.
All right.
Because
they're going to be number four in these power rankings. Are they? So I'm going to go ahead and jump to them now, too.
All right. Continue. Fair enough. I feel like if he can figure it out, because remember, everyone thought he was the Heisman frontrunner last season. I think if he, but he had a really bad season, first season starting. If they can figure out how to channel the talent that he has, because he's obviously a really talented guy. If they can figure out how to channel his talent into wins, onto the football field and, you know, not lose to Pitt, then I think Clemson being number four makes a lot of sense.
Clemson is number four in their power rankings. They're going to return Brian Breesy and Miles Murphy on their defensive front, who are likely to be some of the top picks, first-round selections in the NFL draft. They're going to be studs. They're going to be two of the best defensive players in all of college football. Clemson had won six straight ACC titles and six straight years in the college football playoff. That was ended, and they still went 10-3 last season, and Sports Illustrated wrote, when you win 10 games and it's considered a down year, your program is in pretty good shape. Think
you're
about that.
You're in a really good spot.
10 wins.
You're also the only good team in one of the worst conferences in college football. So let's say that. The ACC is terrible, and it's going to be terrible for a little while. But, you know, Clemson didn't know that when they joined the ACC, that they were going to be at their peak while the rest of the conference is at the bottom. But I feel like Miami's going to start making a comeback. FSU is always a sleeping giant. Pitt had a really great year last year, and they ended up winning the ACC. So you never know. I think you're right. 10 wins, it was a bad year. Clemson is a very good program, and I think they're going to be that way as long as Dabo Swinney's there.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think you hit it on the head. Clemson will be back. There's no way you're going to hold them down. Like you said, I mean, the competition is not there in the ACC, so you can see them, even if they lose a game, you know, maybe they have a chance to get in the playoff. But there's always a team that we don't think about that kind of, you know, before the season that kind of sneaks up in there. So I'll be interested to see who that is.
Wake Forest went 7-1 in the ACC last season.
Yeah, that won't happen again.
Which surprised a lot of people. In a league that has Boston College, Syracuse, Duke, Georgia Tech, the Clemson Tigers were second worst in the ACC in total offense. How bad was DG Uiagalelei? DJ
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei. I was great on the last name, and I mess up DJ. How do I do that? He had 9 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions.
That's not going to cut it.
Was his line in 2021. What did you want to say about Clemson, Brooks?
Well, I was going to go along those lines. You know who's a coach that's not afraid to change quarterbacks?
Dabo Swinney.
You know who's got sitting in the wings right now?
Tell me.
A 5-star freshman out of Tech. The number one quarterback from this past year's class, and the sixth national player, number one quarterback, number one Texas player, and that is Klubnik.
Yep.
I feel like if Uiagalelei does not get off to a hot start, he's going to pull the trigger. And there's a lot of people saying this kid is the next guy at Clemson. And so, and you've got, you know, some good quarterbacks coming in after him too. So he's going to want to get in and get playing early. I think Dabo Swinney, if Uiagalelei does not start out well, he's going to pull that trigger really quickly and put his freshman in there.
Next, number five in the Sports Illustrated College Football Power Rankings going into 2022, Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies beat number one Alabama last year in the regular season, but the season obviously didn't end as well as they would have hoped. Texas A&M is going to bring in former LSU starting quarterback Max Johnson. They've got a deep wide receiver room, and they've also got the number one recruiting class coming in four straight seasons in the top 10. Eric, I'm going to start with you as we cover the bases. What do you think about Texas A&M being number five in the playoff, in the power rankings?
Yeah, they just seem like they never can get over the hump, but they got to figure out the quarterback situation. I would assume the kid from LSU will start.
Max Johnson.
Got a lot of talent, though, man. That recruiting class they brought in is insane. I mean,
what did you think of Kellen Mond during his days as a college football quarterback? Because he was at A&M forever. He played there for four seasons, which you just don't see that often in college football anymore.
He's a pretty solid quarterback, man. That's what I just really feel like.
But they could never get over the hump with him.
They can just get, you know, superstar type quarterback, you know. I think they could be really, really good. Like, it's surprising to me that with all the talent that they've brought in, they still haven't been able to bring in, you know, that guy, you know, a Bryce Young or somebody like that. I mean, they even missed on a couple Texas kids that Quinn Ewers went to Texas. Like, you know, that to me, that's what they need. That's the next step. Because in the SEC, you got to have that guy, SEC West.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. They're going to beat Bama. You got to have, I mean, I know they beat them with Calzada last year, but it's kind of a fluke. But
yeah. Right.
I think A&M's a sleeping giant, and I think they have been for a little while, and I think they're finally starting to wake up a little bit. Kellen Mond was a good quarterback, like Eric said. He just wasn't the guy. I don't know if they're going to find the guy, or I don't know if it's going to be a Georgia situation where they're just so good everywhere else that the quarterback can be okay and it still win you a national championship.
Don't make mistakes.
Yeah. Yep. You've got to have. I think they've got a decent head coach in Jimbo Fisher, a guy who can win a national championship. I don't think he's a great head coach, but I think he's good enough to win if you put him in the right situation. And I think they have more money than God, and that can win you recruiting classes at this point. And guys, recruiting freaking matters. Stars matter. And A&M's getting all the stars in the world right now. And obviously the NIL thing, there's a lot going on in that world right now. But if A&M is able to hold on to all these kids and they keep building like this, there's no telling what kind of team they'll be.
Well, you see, Kevin Sumlin was a good recruiter too when he was there. And it's just the same,
like this,
it's the same story. They just couldn't get over that hump. They could win a big game. One of the big games that they needed to, they would win it that year. But then they'd fall down. They wouldn't get, you know, a challenge for the West. It'd always be an LSU or an Auburn or Alabama going to win the West. And A&M was always playing the bridesmaid, never the bride. And I just don't know. It took Jimbo Fisher, a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback, to win him a national title at Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida State is one of those teams that you saw with Bobby Bowden, and you said, this is, like, they can win national titles consistently. And he didn't get that done at Florida State. I don't know if all the money in the world can get them a national title there or get them into the SEC West, as long as you're going up against an LSU team that's got a really good coach again in Brian Kelly that is able to recruit, and he was able to recruit to Notre Dame, who's a lot higher academic standards than LSU. You've got Nick Saban still just destroying the college football world at Alabama. You've got Arkansas, who's up and coming. Sam Pittman's got a really good thing going there. You've got a excellent recruiter at Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. He's not going to get the same caliber players as Texas A&M can, but he's still a guy that can scheme and get what he needs out of his players. You've got a stacked SEC West, and I just don't know if Jimbo Fisher is the guy. And I'm afraid that Texas A&M may be stuck with him because of how much money they've paid.
They are paying through the nose to keep him there.
Where's Arch Manning going? I'm just going.
I think he's going Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't think it's Ole Miss.
Really?
I think he'll do his own thing. I know Texas keeps popping up.
I think it's less about the connection to Ole Miss and more about, like, I just want to play for Lane Kiffin. If I was a quarterback.
But if you're Arch Manning, where are you going to win more? Where are you going to win more?
Probably Alabama. I don't see him going to Texas. The rumors are that Alabama's out of the running.
But out of the teams that he's in the running for, where do you fit, see? Because Ole Miss, I think it would be a fine fit for him to be in that Lane Kiffin offense.
What about Georgia?
But you're not going to win. Georgia's a really – I was about to say, Georgia, you can go to Georgia, and you've got a defense that's going to back you up on the other side of the ball, and you've got a guy with like Kirby Smart that can recruit. And if you get an Arch Manning quarterback to go to Georgia, people are going to follow.
He's got six schools for Arch Manning: Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, and Texas. Steve Wiltfong with 24/7 Sports Recruiting says the three schools that have the most interest and that Arch Manning has been talking with the most: Alabama, Georgia, and Texas. The idea of Georgia is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't want him to go to Georgia because I've said it before on here, my life is better when Georgia sucks at things. I don't know. You know,
I was happy until we had to start thinking about these hypotheticals.
Kirby Smart does not have the best record with quarterbacks.
But if you've got a Manning in there, the Mannings aren't going to let you have the worst.
You can't mess up Arch Manning.
He messed up Justin Fields?
I don't think you can mess up Arch Manning.
He messed up the kid who ended up going to Washington and having a better career than Jake Fromm did.
With the legacy that is a Manning, and you've got the whole Manning family breathing down your neck, Kirby Smart's not going to mess him up.
Jacob Eason is who you're thinking of.
Are grossly overestimating Kirby Smart.
The Lane Kiffin thing's interesting, though,
yeah.
Because you put... He's a quarterback guru, man. This guy's been talked about
since he was in ninth grade, though.
Would he be talked about if it wasn't for his last name? I think yes, because he's a really good quarterback, possibly the number one quarterback in the class. But would you be talking about him since he was in eighth grade if his last name was not Manning?
But that's not a fault of his.
No, absolutely not. But it leads to a lot of hype.
I agree. I don't think you can mess him up.
Especially if, regardless of what, we said the same thing
about Bo Nix.
The track record is there.
And I understand it's not Kirby Smart, but
the track record is there.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, I mean, yeah, we wouldn't talk about him as much if his last name wasn't Manning, but his last name is Manning, so we know everything that comes with that. So I
don't like thinking about it because he's going to be that good and he's going to terrorize the SEC.
Yeah, just stay out of the SEC. But
He's coming to the SEC.
Even if he goes to Texas, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep. He's class of 2023, so he's got one more season of high school football left.
I think you can win a national championship at Ole Miss. I think it can be done. I think you have to recruit very well.
You have to have a great quarterback. You have to have Arch Manning.
You don't have to have Arch Manning. You can have a good quarterback or a great quarterback. I think you have to have a superstar quarterback, whatever his name is.
Arch Manning. You've also got to have a defense that's not going to give up 57 points to Alabama.
And their defense is getting better. Ole Miss's defense is getting better. I'm a big believer in Lane Kiffin.
I am too. I was very pro Lane Kiffin coming to Auburn. Would have loved that. That would have been amazing.
I was banging the drum.
That would have been great.
As much as I possibly could have to get Lane Kiffin to Auburn. It'll never happen.
We're creating way too many questions. We got to wrap up here. We're covering the bases with Eric McDade, State Farm. I got to go through 6 through 10 the upcoming season. It's the Sports Illustrated Power Rankings for the college football year. Number 6, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. As the Irish have Marcus Freeman taking over their program. Jack Cohn was their quarterback a season ago after transferring from Wisconsin. They return a lot on defense. Got to figure out the quarterback spot for them. Number 7, Oklahoma. A little surprised with that one. Number 8, Michigan, as Jim Harbaugh finally did it. He finally made it to the college football playoff. The number 9, Oregon Ducks. Dan Lanning comes over from Georgia
as the
head coach. Kenny Dillingham, the offensive coordinator. And Bo Nix, of course, their quarterback. And then number 10, the Utah Utes, who lost the Rose Bowl, one of the top teams in the Pac-12 this upcoming season. They returned star running back Tavian Thomas, who was a 1,000-yard rusher and had 21 touchdowns a season ago. And also, their quarterback Cameron Rising is coming back, who was really good, 20 touchdowns, 5 INTs. So, again, 6 Notre Dame, 7 Oklahoma, 8 Michigan, 9 Oregon, 10 Utah. Which of those teams jump out to you?
Notre Dame being 6th is a little weird because they lost their head coach. And they're disappointing every single year. I can't name you a single player.
They play Ohio State first game of the season.
I can't name you a single player they have coming back. I don't see it. I don't see Notre Dame at 6.
You know who can be a really, really good team if they keep up what the previous coach did on offense?
What's that?
Is Oregon. If Dan Lanning can get in there and create an SEC-style defense at Oregon, and you keep what Mario Cristobal did on offensive side, where you're just going to bully people with huge offensive linemen, Oregon can be a really, really good team.
That's probably worst-case scenario for Auburn fans. If Bo Nix makes the college football playoff, the head coach came from Georgia, that would be tragic.
I'm telling you, man. I'm such a Bo Nix believer. I've been such a Bo Nix truther these past couple of years. Like, I love it. I want Bo to have success because I feel like he got a lot of hate for stuff that wasn't his fault. And I've talked about that a lot on this show. I don't want to go any more.
We're gonna find out how good Bo Nix is this year.
That's for sure.
One way or the other.
I'm excited to see what Michigan does after going to the college football playoff for the first time, as we said. And Ohio State's going to be good. They've got C.J. Stroud back. What can the Wolverines do this season, though?
Yeah, I was shocked when Jim Harbaugh came back. I thought him to – where was he talking? He was talking to the Vikings?
Raiders.
The Raiders?
The Raiders was one. The Vikings was the other big one.
He was in Minnesota. You're right there.
He actually went and interviewed with Minnesota, and I thought that – I thought he was gone. I mean, I thought it was a done deal. But he ended up coming back after what was probably the highest his value will ever be. Because I don't see him winning a college football playoff. I don't see him winning a national championship at Michigan. Not while Ohio State's doing what it's doing, and you still have to compete with the likes of Bama and Georgia and Clemson and teams like that on that stage. Ohio State is pulling everything from around that area. You're not going to get the great talent. You're going to have to go elsewhere. And even though he has tried to go elsewhere, he's still not been able to do it consistently. I don't think he's going to win a national championship at Michigan. I'm shocked that he's back.
Eric, this has been great, man. Covering the bases with Eric McDade, State Farm. Drive with Eric.com. Your takes were outstanding.
As always.
We didn't have anything as noteworthy, I don't think, as LeBron is the GOAT, although I certainly do agree with you. But able to talk about the Kentucky Derby off and running, the NBA playoffs catching up, and some college football talk. So thanks, man. This was a lot of fun.
Appreciate it,
guys. Give us one more plug for Eric McDade, State Farm.
Eric McDade, State Farm, 334-759-7431. DriveWithEric.com. Y'all reach out to me. Hopefully we can help you. Hopefully my insurance is better than my sports takes.
I love it. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. We'll have more takes coming in just a little bit. Well, you got to take a commercial break here. When we come back, best and worst of the weekend, and we wrap up the show. You're listening to the Abby Award-winning Sports Talk Show. This is Sports Call.
Easy it is to listen to our show. All you have to do with your Amazon smart device is say, Alexa, play Sports Call Auburn.